Hey, everybody. Welcome to J&J on Jazz, powered by Jazzwire. This is my friend, James, and James got a little water in his basement last week.
There's actually a lot of water in my basement, and this is my friend, Jeff, and he just got a rowing machine. So those are connected somehow, right?
I did get a rowing machine. In case I get water in the basement, I need to be able to get around. This is perfect how we relate like this.
Love it.
Oh, man. Well, one of the things we want to talk about is how to play fast, playing jazz fast and improvising and coming up with ideas, right? And I have a mixed relationship, mixed feelings about this kind of stuff, because at some point it's sort of a little circus-like, you know, it's a show-offy thing. But at the end of the day, as a pro, as a semi-pro, you're going to be called to play different tempos. And at some point, if you're going to call yourself a pro, you need to be shredding at 280 or 300 or whatever it's going to be. So it takes some doing. And maybe that's the first lesson, is you have to do it some every day. So I'm actually getting ready for some gigs, and I'm just making myself every day for 5 or 10 minutes play faster than is comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so that may be 180 for you. That may be 200 for the next person. That may be 300. For the next person. But it just takes some doing, you know. So are there any big secrets? There's little practice tips. And this is the sort of stuff we talk about at Jazzwire. By the way, sign up for a free trial at Jazzwire. It'll take you 20 seconds to get in, no credit card, none of that. And you can see what goes on behind the wall with us and hundreds of adult students from 25 different countries around the world. It's pretty great. So I'd love to see you there. So, my take, aside from just do it, so sponsored by Nike, too bad, we're going to have to give them a call, I guess, have them send us some sneakers. aside from that, people confuse playing a fast tempo with playing a lot of notes. Here's me playing at 300. That was me playing at 300. That was playing a long note. That was four half notes or four whole notes tied together. I was playing at 300. Okay, so that's not, you know, so yes, okay, that's a bit of a silly example, but not really. So a great thing to be able to do is put on the metronome. Let's say I'll put it on at 280. I'll put on a track. I'll put on Cherokee. How's that? I'll put it on at 280. And what I want to do is play a burning half note solo. Half notes. Mm. So if 280 is 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, two, right? So those were half notes. So if you just came into the video there, you heard a guy with a saxophone playing half notes. It sounded like nothing. But in my head, with the track that I'm playing, those half notes had to happen right in time. Mm-hmm. So that idea of playing a fast tempo, what that means mentally and finger precision-wise, isn't the same thing as playing eighth notes or 16th notes. So when I have my students learn to play a burning half note solo, but right in time. And by the way, since things are going slow enough, we can maybe think about voice leading or creating a nice melody in half notes. When they can do that, and then I say, okay, let's try eighth notes. Surprisingly, they're so much further ahead. So this idea of playing fast tempos is a perceptual thing in our brain, but most people think it's a finger wiggling problem. Now, yes, we do have to wiggle our fingers well. Yes, I work with a lot of adult students who may have some arthritis or reduced motion or this and that. That is reality. But the bottom line is, if you have those fast tempos straight in your head, that gets you so much further. It's not a finger problem. It's a brain problem to begin with. So let me play an example. I'm going to put on Cherokee, and I'm going to start playing. I'm going to play a half note solo, 16 measures, something like that. And you can hear what I mean. Check this out.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, I can hear the voice leading, and you have to be conscious about where the changes are, how they're moving. You can't just mindlessly do that. You're absolutely engaged with the tune when you're approaching it that way, right?
Oh, for sure. And I'll say that most students, when they first do this, can't play the half notes.
Ah.
It's beat one and beat three. They can't do it in time. They are dragging. They're all over the place. So lots of times I'll just say, look, play a concert B flat, half notes right in time. So the first thing is actually more like, can we get those half notes in time, mm-hmm. like killer in time half notes with the ride cymbal? And frankly, I'd prioritize that, and then we can get to the notes and the voice leading. But I can't help myself, man. I'm a voice leading machine.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's kind of my middle name. Yeah. So then the next thing that I would say to just sort of jump ahead in this process, and now jumping ahead, this could be a week for some students, this could be a month for the next student, is now we can start introducing quarter notes. So you're soloing with half notes. Now can you solo with quarter notes? As soon as the quarter notes get a little rickety, back it up and go back to half notes. So half notes are going to be your sweet spot. You can nail half notes. Most people, when they try to play quarter notes, are dragging, or rushing and getting ahead.
Yeah.
So can you play good quarter notes? So when you can do that, now can you play eighth notes? Here's the thing. Try playing eighth notes. You may play three eighth notes and you're out of time. Go right back to the half notes and get back to your sweet spot. Jump. So the idea is you never allow yourself to play out of time. Your sweet spot will be half notes. You can always play half notes. Try quarters, that's good. Try eighths, oh, that didn't work. Come right back to half notes. And play half notes for eight more measures to get your sense of the time back. Then try eighth notes, come back to half notes. So I'll play an example of it right here. It sounds like sort of a weird exercise, but it is so powerful. And the idea is, you're playing at this fast tempo that you can't play at. You don't belong at this tempo, but you're playing it the whole time because you're playing at half notes. And at the end of the day, maybe you didn't play more than 15 eighth notes, but you just spent half an hour playing at, fill in the blank, at 260 mm-hmm. or 280 or whatever it is. And so that was the brain training part. And it's amazing that when your brain gets straight about how to fit with the time, your fingers can do so much more than you imagine. And I've seen this with people I've gotten people playing twice as fast as they ever thought they'd play,
cool.
frankly.
Cool.
It's pretty slick. So let me do an example of this for you. And so when my eighth notes start getting a little rickety, you'll notice I come back to the half notes. Check it out.
Stealing this approach, Jeff. That's awesome, man. I love the way that again, you're plugged into the time. I can hear that you're pushing yourself, and you really have to kind of be present the whole time. That's what I'm taking away from this. I mean, it's just about being present in the time, and wow, this is I don't even know if I want to tell you what I was going to do, because I just want to steal this.
Oh, man. Well, I stole it from my friend Wade Beach, fantastic piano player who was in my band for many years and teaches in this area at George Mason University. And I got that from Wade. That's how he practiced. And his fast tempo playing was insanely great and so swinging and so accurate.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, like, dude, how do you do this? How do you approach it? How do you teach it? This is his thing. So I'm happy to share it.
I love it. It's and that's the thing that we're all striving for, I think, Jeff, when we want to improvise at whatever fast is for us, is to be clean, right? And to be precise. And so I think that what you're talking about is a really huge part of that. And it's actually kind of related to what I've been doing a lot lately in my playing, because it's been I have a love-hate relationship with, like, dang digga dang digga dang digga dang digga dang, those kinds of tempos. So
sure.
For me, what I've been doing is, and I got this by checking out some Dominic Farinacci videos, where he's diving very deeply into the physical and technical aspects of Clifford Brown's trumpet playing. But he also talks about his process for how he learns the faster tempos, or the faster solos. And I've just really been into that lately. So I just thought I would show everybody a quick second of how I've noticed this helping in my own playing. So there's a great Clifford Brown solo that I'm trying to learn now that he played on a live date, and it's on the tune After You've Gone, right? And so just the solo break is at a tempo that's in a weak spot for me. It's fast enough that I feel like it's in an uncomfortable place for me, but it's slow enough that I've got to articulate a lot. So it's in a real uncomfortable spot for me, right? So... And it's just beyond what I feel comfortable playing, right? So most of the time when I'm learning a solo, I like to learn the entire thing by ear and never look at a printed version of it. I cheated on this one, and I downloaded one off the internet that somebody had on their website for free. Great. So I set my metronome at like 60. And I said, I'm going to go through this thing phrase by phrase. I'm trying to put the accents where I hear Clifford putting them, and I'm trying to articulate where I think he's articulating, right? And I want it to sound good. I'm not just doing it like, oh, this is boring, I'm playing it slow, right?
Sure.
And so, but instead of sliding the metronome up like one click every repetition, I'm living there for like a whole practice session. And then at the end of that practice session, I double the tempo immediately.
Yep.
To see if I can, to see if I've retained it, right, and if it's worked its way into my fingers and into my tongue, because for me it's not about having the ideas at that tempo, it's having the coordination on the horn to execute it, right. So I love that your approach is really about helping people to develop ideas and get comfortable with the voice leading at that tempo, and I'm thinking of it as I've got the ideas, but I need them to be able to come out of my instrument technically, right? So just that break that I played for you guys, it was actually a little faster than where Brownie plays it. And that's another part of this too, is that once I've gotten it up to tempo, then I'm going to start trying to learn to play it faster than Brownie played it, right? So that, and this is another thing that Dominic demonstrates in his videos, if you're playing something at 300 and you're shedding it at 320 or 350, 300 feels pretty slow when you get back to it, or whatever it is. If you're shedding at 200 and you try it at 220, 200 feels a lot slower. And the other thing, again, I'm stealing this from him, but this has been so beneficial. While I'm practicing those things slow, whether it's somebody's solo or just licks that I want to play, you'll notice that I just grab my horn backwards, right? So... Can I play it with my left hand on the valves as opposed to my right hand? And that's something I've done before I checked out these Dominic Farinacci videos, because drummer friends of mine, and for all you drummers out there, we're talking to you too sometimes, right? A drummer friend of mine was like, man, if I can't play something in my left hand, I'm not going to be able to play it in my right hand. And if I can't play it in my right hand, I can't play it in my left hand. Both hands should be able to do both things. And so I started to really incorporate that into my practicing when I was younger, and I go back to that a lot. If I feel like I'm having a hard time at certain tempos, I'll back it off to a sort of a comfortable spot, and I'll play with my left hand right here instead of my right hand. And when I go back to my right hand, everything feels just more relaxed and more synthesized. So that's how I've been trying to really push my own personal metronome needle up.
Oh man, that's amazing, shifting your hands like that. I can't even imagine. See, I use one of these two-handed instruments.
Right, like, you can't do that.
yeah, saxophone takes it takes both hands, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things I love that I think was really powerful is you said you don't move your metronome up one click, you know, and it takes 60 days to get, you know, none of that business. Double it. Go. And same thing inside Jazzwire. I've been having people do that. You know, they're like, oh, you know, I want to get this 20 clicks faster this month. I'm like, dude, turn your metronome up 60 clicks now and do a post. And there's belly aching and there's, you know, rending of clothing. And I can hear from across in England where they live that there's, you know, the moaning and whatever. And then they do it and it sounds great. You know, so it's, so there's a lot to be said for those huge jumps. But that's after spending time getting it sounding great.
Super slow, yeah. And this, to me, is about... It's about gaining comfort. So finding the balance between practicing slow so that you're relaxed and you're comfortable, but then putting yourself in tempo situations that feel uncomfortable at the same time so that you become more comfortable with them. It's just about comfort, you know, for me. And I've had a lot of development in my own playing the last couple of months in particular because I got into those videos of his and I started to tailor it to my own approach. And I'm not where I want to be, but I feel a lot better equipped to deal with like dang, 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 than I did a year ago. So pretty cool.
Fantastic. Wow, that's cool. Well, so if I can sum up the video, sax players only play with one hand and make sure it's the wrong hand.
You got it.
Did I get that right?
You got it. That's my whole method. Yeah, there it is. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. That's great, you know?
Oh, perfect. Yeah, a trumpet TED Talk. The world has been missing out. Totally. Oh, man, that's great. Well, again, people have so much great stuff to get them fired up on this. And then for those that really want to do the work with actual feedback, how actual learning and actual teaching works, Jazzwire is the place to do it. Mm-hmm. So, hey, James, thank you for this tonight. This is fantastic. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I know what I need to work on after I go and take a swim or a row in my basement. You know, I know what I got to practice.
A row in the basement.
Yeah.
Precisely.
You're great.
All right. Take care, brother.
See y'all.